Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. If you've been listening to the podcast for a long time, then you know that I love the movie Don't Look Up. I've got family members who have watched it and don't like it because it's too on the nose, but I love it. I love the on the nose-ness. I love the blunt in your face, just obviousness of what we're talking about and how blatantly it calls out the worst perpetrators, right? One of the things that I love about that movie, I guess one of the aspects, is the fact that they have the chance to stop the asteroid from hitting Earth. And I said asteroid, I should have said comet. It's a comet. I'm not a space guy. I don't know the difference. And, you know, there's political aspects to it. And then there's also the private funding side of it, which ends up being what takes over, what takes control. It's what ends up making the decisions. You have those who found the comet, right? The astronomers who discovered it go to the White House. They have all their conversations about it. The politicians, meaning the president and her advisors, don't really want to do anything because midterms are coming up and it would look terrible. So let's just hold off on this. And then it gets leaked to the public and there's, you know, sentiment change and all of a sudden it's important. So, okay, come back and we're now going to look into this really seriously and let's fix this problem. And they're on the edge of solving the problem when Trask, who is basically Musk, which I hadn't really thought about how close their names were, which is kind of funny. Trask comes in with his, you know, billions of dollars and convinces, I'm guessing it wasn't hard to convince the president of the United States to hold off and say, no, actually, you know what? There's large amounts of money to be made by not taking the route that would solve the problem, but by taking a riskier route that would allow for a continuation of the status quo and, of course, for Trask himself to become much wealthier. They take Trask's route, the government does what he wants them to do, and in the end, everybody dies. Sorry, spoiler alert. Well, doing some reading this week and kind of doing some research on the state of geoengineering, I found a somewhat interesting trend. I'm just going to read you the headlines from the top stories that show up on Google when I searched that news topic. The number one is Why Scientists Warn of Privately Funded Geoengineering. I'm just going to read through the list. Here we go. As an environmentalist, I urge Iowa to ban geoengineering. The urgent need for research governance of solar engineering. Iowa considers criminalizing cloud seeding and geoengineering. Five prominent geoengineering ideas and why they will not save the poles. Solar engineering startups are getting serious. A hard look at geoengineering reveals global risks. Experts warn against five polar geoengineering ideas. And lastly, can we geoengineer the Arctic? Should we? Now, you may have noticed a trend there, and it's that every one of those articles talks about how scientists are concerned about the idea of geoengineering and how most likely we should not do it. Now listen, we are on the edge of global catastrophe because of climate change, right? We have driven the Earth to its limits, and we are within years or decades of experiencing catastrophic failure of industrialized civilization because of the threat. These relatively cheap or easy fixes have been thrown out there or have been researched, and the overwhelming response from the scientific community is, hold on, don't think this is such a good idea, let's not do it. So that shows that the consequences of trying and failing are catastrophic. They're massive. And so just like in the film, how they had this solution, which was available, which in our case would be, you know, deindustrializing or degrowth or just plain slowing down the rate of growth of emissions, right? There's all these things that we could do. We are choosing not to take that route. And private money, private groups who want to, you know, continue status quo, who want to make more money, not less, are stepping in now and raising funds and creating these companies around geoengineering and saying, well, we've actually got this other fix that will allow for society to remain the same. We don't have to be crazy. We don't have to do anything different. Just give us more money and we will go about geoengineering and fixing the problem. Now, it's yet to be seen exactly how this will play out from a regulatory standpoint, but I think I have a pretty good idea of what to expect. Right now, companies are raising money in the tens of millions of dollars. And while that's a lot of money, it doesn't quite move the needle as far as getting the government's attention. But I think that interest in this will continue to grow and grow, and it will catch the attention of more men like Musk or Thiel or others who have the resources in place to create a company and bring it about. If Elon Musk could believe that he was the man to save the future, A, and make a ton of money doing it, B, of course he's going to do that. And he has floated some ideas, talked about this a little bit yesterday, where he wants to put a big space mirror to reflect sunlight away from the Earth. But I could also see him easily coming in and saying, you know, we'll put $2 billion or $5 billion or $10 billion towards solar radiation management by, you know, aerosol injection or whatever it may be. And with the current government in the United States, I see absolutely no pushback from them, you know, especially if there was some sort of quid pro quo, or at least even just a promise to fix things or allow us to continue at the status quo. And the U.S. government is not going to listen to any world government or any scientists telling them to stop. So hearken back then to the article I mentioned at the beginning, the very first one in that list, which is Why Scientists Warn of Privately Funded Geoengineering, right? What's the big deal after all? So it says, as the climate crisis intensifies, interest in solar engineering is increasing, including among private companies and investors. But the technique is controversial and lacks regulation. The growing gap between climate targets and reality is fueling renewed interest in geoengineering, interventions that intentionally alter the Earth's climate system. Among them is solar geoengineering, which aims to cool the planet by reflecting sunlight back into space. The technology remains largely experimental and could have far-reaching social, political, and environmental impacts if deployed at scale, according to scientists. Until recently, most geoengineering research was carried out by nonprofits and public research institutions funded by governments and philanthropies, but the landscape is shifting. Over the past 3 years, two commercial startups, Israeli-US Stardust Solutions and California-based Make Sunsets, have emerged. As reported by media outlet Heatmap News, Stardust Solutions recently announced it had raised $60 million in venture capital. Yet scientists and researchers, even those who support solar geoengineering, are concerned about for-profit companies entering a field that lacks proper regulation. Quote, what is worrying is private money coming in that's not accountable to anyone, in sums that potentially could far exceed what has been on the table thus far from governments, said Cynthia Scharf, a senior climate fellow at independent think tank the Center for Future Generations. The article then talks about stratospheric aerosol injection, what it is, how it came about. We've talked about that at length, so we won't go into the research of it. But they talk about the need for transparency in research. It says, much of the SAI research to date has focused on injection of sulfate particles, the same type emitted by volcanoes. However, there are side effects associated with sulfate aerosols, including possible damage to the ozone layer and increased air pollution. This could in turn lead to higher rates of respiratory illnesses. Quote, we don't believe this is a safe or responsible option for policymakers to consider, said Stardust Solutions CEO Yanai Yedvab in an emailed response. Stardust Solutions claims it has developed a different kind of particle made of components that are abundant in nature, chemically inert in the stratosphere, and safe for humans and ecosystems. The company has so far not released any information about the composition of the particle it is developing. Yedvab says they will begin publishing research this year, but some scientists are skeptical about the safety claims. Even if you put something into the atmosphere which is safe in the stratosphere, by the time it's processed and come down to the lower atmosphere, it may be an active particle that's dangerous, said David Keith, a professor of geophysical science at the University of Chicago. Yedvab said no outdoor testing will take place for now. So essentially they're saying, we don't think that the sulfate aerosols are a good idea. This is coming from the private company who has raised $60 million plus dollars. Instead, we're coming up with a proprietary solution, one that only we know about, but don't worry, it's super safe and it's going to fix things. Now, they say that they're going to do research, but they also say they haven't even done any outdoor testing. The question is, if what they came up with was harmful, according to scientists, but they had enough money to carry it out or to bribe the government to allow them to, who wins out in that case? Is there regulation in place that would prevent it? It says that Stardust Solutions sees its role as technological enablers, providing governments and the international community with the tools and evidence needed to make informed decisions amid an escalating climate crisis. Quote, "The last thing anyone who takes this crisis seriously should want is for governments to realize in a decade that they need to deploy SRT, sunlight reflection technology, and for the research, engineering, and de-risking not to be complete." That according to Yedvab. But Keith, who was, again, a professor of geophysical science at the University of Chicago, says technology as complex and uncertain as SAI and marked by significant unknown unknowns requires public confidence above all else. He says, "I think free market capital competition can be great when what you're producing is something that's easy to test. But for things where the whole issue is trust, I'm much more skeptical about the role of private money. Stardust Solutions will be seeking a patent to claim intellectual property rights for its particle, and recent reporting by energy and environment-focused news outlet E&E News revealed the company has been working with a law firm to lobby the U.S. government." Hey, imagine that. They're willing to pay the U.S. government millions of dollars to allow for their particle to, A, probably not be regulated, so they have full access to do what they want, and B, for this particle to be kept proprietary, meaning we're the only ones that can save the world, we're going to have a monopoly on saving the world, and we're going to make billions or trillions of dollars to do it. Oh, and the side effects, you know, you don't get to really know about. Yedvab said, "We've been informing policymakers about our work and the need for appropriate and robust oversight of sunlight reflection research and development. While U.S. President Donald Trump's anti-climate stance has been underscored by his decision to withdraw the U.S. from dozens of major climate pacts, it is unclear what the administration's thoughts are on solar geoengineering." Just as a side note here, I don't think Trump has said much about solar geoengineering. I do think if it makes him money, he will do it. I do think if he thinks it allows him to continue with the status quo, that he will do it. The article ends by saying, "Currently, there is no specific international treaty to regulate SAI research or deployment, and most governments have no regulations either. Some experts have called for an international non-use agreement, basically a non-proliferation before we even get started." Now, it does say that ocean iron fertilization, another geoengineering method with potential global effects, was regulated in 2013 following strong opposition from environmental groups and governments. By adding iron to the ocean, the technique aims to boost carbon-absorbing plankton, but risks disrupting delicate marine ecosystems. While research is still permitted, commercialization is not. Before the ban, several U.S.-based startups had announced their intentions to invest in the technology and start selling carbon credits. So this has happened before. Regulatory laws were put into place, which stopped it, continued to allow for further research so that it can be reevaluated, but those regulations worked. The real question is, you know, with our current government here in the U.S. in place, or with the government that's in place in other parts of the world, would there be the same regulations put in place now that were then? In 2013, we had Barack Obama as president, who I think cared a little bit more about the environment than the current guy. Now, I'm not saying Barack Obama was perfect by any means, but I would say is worlds apart when it comes to making choices that are for the public good overall rather than for personal enlargement and corruption. All right, so it remains to be seen what's going to happen here. Again, there was lots of different articles that I read through that were very interesting on this topic. I like to just pop in and see what's trending in the news in regards to stuff like this. If you haven't seen Don't Look Up, go watch it. If you'd like to get a good understanding of the direction that I feel we're probably headed in regards to geoengineering. One of the main reasons that I want to reiterate here at the end of this episode for why this is so dangerous is that it gives a false hope. It's much like, you know, green technology in that it lets people say we can continue the status quo or we can continue exponentially increasing our consumption as a society. And that's fine because we've got this solution. Somebody has the answer in place and they're going to fix it. We've gotten to a mode where we as a people watch Hollywood movies that have happy endings and just assume that we can save it, that we can fix it in the nick of time, and that our heroes, the ones that swoop in with their billions of dollars, are going to do it. But it's damaging, not just in the way that actually applying those geoengineering techniques will have direct damaging consequences, but it's damaging because it leads to inaction. It leads to apathy. It leads to people not feeling like they need to pay attention and to lobby for actual, meaningful, long-term changes that will improve society. That's it for today. See you later. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.